This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beltway Blitz every day at noon. By now, you should understand how this works, but we do it for you guys on your lunch break. All the teams you care the most about. Lately, it's been two teams at a time. Pretty much this is a Redskins and Nats time of the year, but as things happen on the Wizards and Caps fronts, we cover them as well. Let's get to it. Start you off on the gridiron. Chris Russell.
Christopher.
Once nominated for an Emmy, believe it or not, for his work in a TV show about a hospital set in Chicago back in 1996. Hello, Rini. How are you?
Hi, that's breaking news to me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you weren't there to accept the award. So they didn't give it to you, which was disappointing.
No. They don't give the Rooster or Chris Russell or Slash Arena or whatever, however many nicknames I have, any awards. I'm 0-45 in that department, boys.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
How is Rini these days, by the way? Everything good with you?
just like a splendid bowl of punch. That's just doing Peachy King.
Anyway, regarding the Redskins, it sounds like not everything is just so with Darius Geis either, Russell. What's your take on that? Yeah. I thought he was all good to go, and Jake Gruden yesterday kind of dropped a pretty heavy weight on the ground that he hasn't been cleared yet.
Right. I mean, cleared for full contact, I guess, is the full context that we should be going on. And we should remember a couple of things. One, there is no live – well, there's very limited live contact in training camp and practices, and they don't even scrimmage anymore like they used to. So, I there is a difference between being cleared full go for practice and then full go for contact, tackling, hits – in a game. So again, we should remember that, and there is a distinction there, and maybe we shouldn't be totally surprised by that considering everything, because these things do take some time and they want to ease him in. Should we be alarmed? I don't know if alarmed is the right word. I'm intrigued by how long this is going to take and how they decide to do this. Like, is a week from now in Atlanta going to be like just some magic potion that they all of a sudden decide, no, you can take a hit to the knee again? I don't know. I don't know if there's some other nefarious reason behind the scenes that we're not aware of. I hope not. I just hope this is just them being extra cautious.
Slashy, defensively, there's high hope for this team. We're not going to probably see this defense for more than a drive or two in its entirety. Give me what it looks like if they're going to be shining this year, and then what's the flip side of that? Where could they potentially have big problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they're, top 11, because they were, like, right around mid-tier in the league, like, depending on what statistical category, between, 15th and 17th in most of the key statistical categories, if I remember correctly. If they're top 10, top 11, I think that's, about right, about what I would expect. In terms of what they have to do in order to become special is they have to be ball hawks on defense, because that allows you to budge. That allows you to give, some yardage up, even field goals, even the occasional touchdown, or more than the occasional touchdown. If you can level the playing field and be extra, extra, extra good in creating those defensive plays and those turnovers, and then giving your offense, which is going to be challenged, better field position or just some momentum where the defense of the opposing team is kind of tired or gassed or maybe deflated a little bit. That's what I think I'm going to be most interested in, more than sacks, more than run defense, more than any other measurable. I think that's what I need to see out of this defense, quite honestly.
Speaking of defense, Russell, I generally am pretty down on the Skins and their outlook for this year on a number of areas. One I think I'm more bullish than almost anybody on is Landon Collins. I think they got a steal there. I think the talking heads are wrong. I think the league was wrong. I think that guy, if allowed to do what he does well, like he did under Steve Spagnuolo, could be a star once again for the Redskins. Are you in or out on what I'm selling here?
I don't know if I'm as high on him as you are, Danny, but I certainly understand what you're saying. And what I'm most intrigued by, you know, is how many, like, I don't want to see him deep single high center field safety or anything like that. I don't think you need to, but I want to see him on those intermediate routes. I don't envision him just as a pure box safety. And what I really want to see, and what I'm really intrigued with Ray Horton's aggressive style and just what I think this this defense is going to be, again, a little bit more of a gambling type defense, a little bit more aggressive. I want to see him blitz off the edge more and blitz up the A-gap more as they kind of twist the inside linebackers and kind of create some confusion and maybe a gap or a lane right up the middle and a direct path to the quarterback. That's where I think Landon Collins might have his biggest impact and might have his biggest success. So the short to intermediate passing areas, squatting on routes, jumping routes, that type of thing, especially in the red zone, and then the blitzing, that's what I want to see out of Landon Collins, and that's where I think the Redskins can get their money's worth there.
You be at FedEx tomorrow, Slashy?
I will not. I'll be at right after Chad at where are we? We're on remote at American Ice. Yeah, so I'm doing the show there.
V Street across from 930 Club to go check there out the American Ice spot. Get some barbecue and some brew. Thank you, Slashy. Much appreciated.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
Chris Russell, go hang out with him in person. It's a good time. Let's talk a little baseball. I've once seen him get into it in a press box with Craig Heist. I lied. I've seen that about 25 times. Heisty is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. You're following Slash. How do you feel about that, Heisty?
Well, I've tried to tell the people that run the Nationals to keep him out of the press box. that never happens.
Have you guys gotten in a good knockdown dragout in a while?
When's the last time?
No, but that's got to happen eventually.
Yeah, the season is still young at this point.
Right. We still have a third to go.
How about Joe Ross, these last three starts? He's been amazing.
I don't know what it is he's found. Obviously, I think they told him to ditch the slider a little bit, and he's gone more curveball. But a lot of ground ball outs last night, and he was fabulous. And it was, 17 and a third innings before he finally gave up a run in that seventh inning on the base hit. But, he's been everything that they could have asked for over these last three starts, especially with with Scherzer being down. And when you couple him with what Fetty's done, I mean, this is about a three-week stretch of some pretty good pitching from both of those guys. But Ross was fabulous last night.
Speaking of pitching, how is Max Scherzer? What did we learn yesterday? What will we know today? Give me the update.
Well, what we learned was he threw the sim game yesterday, and they made it as close to a game as possible. They even brought out a boombox on the field to simulate walk-up movie music, even Baby Shark. But he told Dave Martinez he felt real good coming out of it. I mean, today is going to be the key as to how he feels. And if that happens, then he'll probably throw another sim game, one more bullpen. I don't think a rehab is in the offing, because why would they waste Max Scherzer pitches at the minor league level when he could be up here. And when he does get that start, my guess is if everything's out of the way and it's all right, Sunday would be the day that he would go to the mound and pitch. And if that happens, they'll keep him to like a 75 pitch count.
Star, we'll see you at the ballpark this afternoon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Remember, it's 4:05 first pitch. You can hear the entire game right here on 106.7 The Fan. We are spoiled with our broadcast crew of Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They're outstanding. Pre-game is about 3:35, and Chad Dukes versus the world takes you up to 3:35 in studio here today for a little over an hour and a half. So we got you covered right here on 106.7 The Fan. More on the Nats in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Jags at 1 and Eric Fetty on his return to dominance from his college form when he was a first-round draft pick over his recent starts. He's on the show today at 1:30. Next, though, before we get into Trent Williams and whether or not he could net a first-rounder, I just saw this again. This came out last week. You mentioned it, and we just kind of forgot about it, I think. There's a list that Jay Gruden is ranked number one on.
Uh-huh.
That surprises the heck out of me. I want to see if I'm alone.
You're not alone is what I'm going to tell you.
Next on The Fan. Let's just do a quick poll on this. You ready?
Yes.
I'll explain after the fact. Dar, I need your mic up. I need you available for a moment. I'm going to bet the ranch that Dar knows the answer. Because this is one of those, if you follow sports blogs, mainstream stuff, you know the answer.
I'll bet on Dar here. I would bet, though, that not so sure about Thommy, that he would know.
Okay, I don't think Thommy...
How confident are you that Thommy knows? I didn't know, for the record.
I don't think Thom knows who she is, maybe.
Okay.
Like, it's a different circle of, like, interest. Okay. If I was to ask you guys, who does Ricky Fowler date? Don't say the answer.
100%. I know.
Of course you know. Thommy?
You guys nailed it. 0%.
Yeah. Now, I had... Thommy, this is not...
Dar, say her name.
Allison Stokey?
Yep.
So, I had no idea, Thom. None.
This came up in the break. So, Danny and I... Danny got me to watch, and I commend you for your services.
Thank you very much.
A Netflix documentary that's incredible called Basketball or Nothing. And in one of the episodes... Nota Begay, who's a Native American golfer, gets Ricky Fowler to come talk to this team at Chinle High School in Arizona of young kids that live on the reservation to show them that you can be one of the best in the world even though you come from, you know, the reservation and this background, what have you. Well, he shows up with Allison Stokey, and she's just chilling there being hot Allison Stokey.
Like, it just cuts to a scene where they're driving in the car and the camera pans back and there's Allison Stokey, and I'm going, oh, my God. My wife's like, who's that? And I was like, how do I explain who this is to you?
So Danny said to me, he's like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised you didn't know they were together. And he goes, you would have known that before the show? And he, like, didn't believe me. He's like, you think that's, like, a known thing? And my point is, every For the Win, the big lead blog you ever read is, like, over-talked about that. I would say in terms of power couples in sports right now, the one that gets most over-talked about right now is Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe. Like, everyone wants them to run for president and all this stuff that they're unqualified for,
mm-hmm.
because they like them. The next, like, couple down to me of, like, the most ink gets spent on these people would be, like, Ricky Fowler and Allison Stokey. Is that crazy?
I don't know if they're number two, but they're definitely in the top five.
They're in the team photo, right?
I mean, I also follow them both on Instagram, so that's not really fair.
Yeah, I knew he would.
Yeah.
Well, so
I like bet. Ricky Fowler.
I'm sure you follow them for Ricky Fowler, guy.
Well, I've been Ricky Fowler used to do this amazing thing in the off season where he and the boys would go golfing and they would just do insane trick shots. So that's why I like Ricky Fowler.
So number one, Brian Peck's having a hell of an afternoon today.
He is.
I don't know where he came out of the archives. He's
or Jason Peck.
Tom, where did you
him
dig up?
Jason,
oh, I'm
what
sure.
was that?
We haven't used that in years. It's gone off twice.
It's right here on my page.
I love it.
It's right next to Gasser.
What else is on that page?
Sure. Stands to reason.
I was listening to a show on radio.com in some other market. I don't remember which. And they have a thing called, like, Sound Drop Friday, where people just call in and ask. I don't know that they have a Thommy. I think our Thommy is better than whoever theirs is.
I'll take ours.
But they can just, like, on that day when they call in, they request basically their clip from the sound machine.
There would be so many Turkle Gobble requests.
I hope not.
Oh,
I don't think,
man,
there would.
I don't want it.
I could see people requesting, like, hey, guys, I have a thought on Colt McCoy, but first, Thom, can I hear Jim Tom Sula eating a cookie? You know, it'd be like so much of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the starter is going to be, but can I have Brendan tell me it's not SiriusXM?
Take that, haters.
That's a good one.
That's a great
one. But the other point about the Stokey situation, I wouldn't know Ricky Fowler if he stood next to me and
I
wouldn't recognize that guy at
you
all.
You don't know what he looks like right now when we talk about Ricky Fowler.
I learned what he looked like when he spoke to the kids at Chinle High School.
So 1 week ago, I say Ricky Fowler out loud. You have no picture of his face.
I know that he plays the golf, and I know that he's irrelevant to me. But I wouldn't know what he looks like. No, not at all.
He just committed a crime, and you watched him in the 7-Eleven, and you got to point to his picture. You don't know how to do it.
Correct. Before I saw him on the show.
That shocks me.
It should.
I think he's the number four golfer in the world or something like that. He's been in the top five off and on for a long time.
I'm sure he's very good at golf. I'm certain of it. That's not, to me, in debate or in question. But the only one of these celebrity couples that I could like pull off the top of my head is that Justin Verlander and Kate Upton are together. And we had visual evidence of that. Right? We know that from leaks, from things that came out that shouldn't have come out.
Well, they're pretty public now. But yeah, I think they have a baby now.
Which is cool for them. But I don't do that. Whatever that is, I don't do it.
You're not
I don't do the this person dates that person, you know, the wife and girlfriend thing. I don't really keep track.
But you're also not into celebrities at all.
Correct.
I love the celebrity game. You know that about me.
I do know that about you, yes.
As a youngster, I was into Us Weekly, knowing what was going on.
Now, United States Weekly.
At this point in my life, I'm not anymore. I don't really care who wears it best, but I do really still find myself intrigued by and enamored with celebrities. But that's not going to change.
Do you think that
soon.
Among our audience, that's general knowledge that they could have gone, oh, of course Ricky Fowler is with Allison Stokey?
Well, no. I think more of our listeners than not don't know who Allison Stokey is to begin with. They're Googling her. They're looking her up as we speak. Mm-hmm. I think the average person who I would say is a big sports fan, who would watch the Masters on Sunday, who would call into our show, and if you said to them, what company hat does Ricky Fowler always wear, and they could say Puma, they would know Allison Stokey.
Who he's dating.
I mean, if you know anything about Ricky Fowler, I think you know he's with Allison Stokey. But I also would tell you that I think 80% of our audience doesn't know who Allison Stokey is.
Right. Because I'm trying to quantify it. Like, in other words, I was surprised that you knew and you so casually knew.
It shocks me that you're surprised.
But that's what I'm saying is now, right. Now let me turn it around. Yeah. Are you surprised that I could not have pulled that?
Stunned.
So I'm watching that show and I go, oh my God, that's Allison Stokey, who got a lot of fame that she didn't want when a picture of her went viral and every dude bro blog that existed produced the same several pictures of her just trying to do the pole vault.
I'm more surprised that Danny was able to pull Allison Stokey with no sort of relation to Ricky Fowler.
This is my point.
That's weird.
When I first found out about Allison Stokey, it was because I'm like, damn, who's Ricky Fowler's girlfriend? And then I backpack, I'm sure. I loaded up my backpack with my
book. You won't load up your backpack.
I go through the woods with a backpack on. And then I backpedal my way to the beginning where she got all this fame as a college athlete because she was very attractive in a picture of her playing a sport, and she didn't like the picture. I didn't start there, though. I had never heard of any of that controversy. I heard this as, like, Ricky Fowler now dating Allison Stokey. And I'm like, who is Allison Stokey? What is this about?
I'm with
Tom. The fact that you are apparently, like, an Allison Stokey knowledgeable person, and you had no idea she was dating one of the best golfers in the world, that surprised me.
So what I'm trying to say is, let's say hypothetically, all right, the Junkies have both on in the morning, and I miss the segment that they're both on.
Right.
And I come into this area, and AWOD's doing an awkward interview bit with the two of them in front of the 106.7 The Fan sign
right
outside.
You would recognize her and not him.
I would go, who's Allison Stokey with?
That is so crazy.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the level I'm at. To me, she's, like, came up during the era where I'm reading every single one of those sports blogs. I'm, like, aspiring to write one. She was, like, the content person, right? And again, she didn't want any of it and tried to, like, sue to get her pictures removed because it was anything like unflattering or whatever. She just didn't want the attention.
She wasn't naked or anything. It was a picture she didn't like.
Right. She just she didn't want the attention that she was getting. And that's, I know who she is. Absolutely. I also am aware of who Ricky Fowler is, but what he looks like, I learned what he looked like watching that Netflix show.
I am stunned that you know that she had lawsuits 12 years ago.
Yes.
But had no idea she was currently dating Ricky Fowler.
Well, I happen to have read an article. Because it's a fascinating story, honestly. Like where
we're going down a rabbit hole.
Seriously, I'm fascinated by stuff like this. Where because everybody in our culture just wants to be famous so badly, right? And people just behave famously. Every Instagram influencer just behaves like a famous person, and they get things. She did not want to be famous, and still got some of these things, and was so passionate about not wanting to be famous that she filed a lawsuit. I can't remember where I saw the article. Maybe it was like Wall Street Journal or something like that. But I was really interested in it.
Just for the record, I mean, this doesn't mean anything. It's not just like the end all be all. But Allison Stokey, who is on Instagram posting pictures and as a gorgeous female on Instagram, that gets you a few followers, I would say, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has 570,000 people that follow her on IG. Ricky Fowler, who's just a donk who posts pictures from his golf course, has 1.6 million followers on Instagram. I think you're in the minority on this.
Oh, I'm sure I am.
Yeah.
I'm sure I am. He's, again, I don't care about people's pictures, and I definitely don't care about a golf guy's pictures, right? Like, for any reason.
You follow Paige Spirinak, I bet.
I don't. anymore. I got too bored.
I bet you did at some point.
I did at some point. Yeah. Because she's so attractive, but it became so much like golf and like golfing. And I was like, that's not why I'm here. It's not as bad as the really hot girl on Instagram who just posts pictures of her dog who does the bait and switch.
But do you follow Allison Stokey?
No.
No, I don't either.
I don't.
I'm going to go look just so I can see Brendan T. Dar right under her name.
Followed by Brendan Dar.
Followed by. Just our producer's doing some, he's doing research.
He's just doing good show work.
You can play that game with a lot of pages on Instagram.
Oh, that's funny. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We didn't get into Jay Gruden, the list that he's on.
I'm sorry.
Let's do that next right here on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The list Jay Gruden is on that shocks me. He is expected to be the first NFL coach to leave his post. That's fired, that's dismissed, what have you. Pat Shurmur, 7-1 with the Giants, second. Doug Marrone, 9-1 Jaguars, third. Bill O'Brien, 12-1 Texans, fourth. Dan Quinn, high expectations again in Atlanta, 12-1 fifth. Tied for fourth, I should say. But Jay Gruden at 4-1, according to Bet Online. The number one most likely coach to leave his post first. I understand that he's under a lot of pressure this year. He just drafted a rookie quarterback. That guy's not going to be on the field in week one or week two. Dwayne Haskins is not going to play until, at the earliest, sometime in October. You're not firing Jay Gruden before he's calling plays for Dwayne Haskins. It's not happening. So he's now bought himself until at the very earliest, even if it's a catastrophic season and they start out 0-5, he's bought himself the first half of the season. I think that's probably the worst bet you could make in Vegas right now. To blow him out in year? When's the last time Dan Snyder did that with a head coach? I can give you the answer. It's, I believe, Norv Turner in 2000. Oh,
yeah, Norval Eugene.
Because he was replaced by Rubisky. Then they went and got Marty Schottenheimer. Snyder decided a week into training camp, supposedly, he was going to fire Schottenheimer. He waited till the end of the year. Then they go get Spurrier, who was a joke. He didn't get fired in season. They waited till the end of the year. Then they go get Joe Gibbs, who left on his own terms. Then they go get Jim Zorn, who they were going to fire as of 3 games into a season. They literally had agreed with Mike Shanahan already, basically, to be their next head coach. Remember the story that came out written by Mike Wise about the flight that they took out to talk to Shanny in the fall?
That they couldn't believe people found out about?
Everybody knew Jim Zorn was out. Every week it was just a cringeworthy press conference. They didn't fire him. They don't really do that. I think this is a really good way to waste some money, to be honest with you.
So I'm trying to think of why. Okay, because I'm generally in lockstep with you that I don't think he makes it till next season, but there's somebody else is going to go first, right? Somebody else is going to get canned before he does. I do think they're going 6-10, and he'll be out of a gig, and he'll go somewhere else.
What would it have to take for him to be fired in season?
Here's where I think it could happen. They go 0-5, which is very much on the table to start the year. Now,
okay.
that would count as a Giants loss, where you would hope that you're better than the Giants, but I'm just saying, it's a divisional game. Maybe Eli pulls one out of his focus.
But Haskins wouldn't have played.
But hold on, here's why. I'm trying to add this. Again, I'm not advocating for it. I'm trying to figure out why these are the odds. You go 0-5, and Haskins is no closer to taking the field. And he's still miles away. And it's still between these two Jags.
Because he's not ready, or because Jay tells Dan and Bruce he doesn't want to play him?
Because he's not ready.
Because I hadn't even thought of. That could be the answer, though. Him not being ready, they'd play him anyway, because Dan and Bruce will just say, play him. What if Jay Gruden actually battles back and goes, my team, not your team?
Yeah, he's not ready.
Call this shot.
And the way that I could absolutely see it going is, what was your job to get him ready? How is he not ready? Get out of here. That's how I could see it. Now, again, I'm with you. I think it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
I think any money you put down is wrong. I don't think he makes it to next year, but there's somebody who's going before he is.
Meaning he doesn't make it through the offseason.
Yeah.
You're saying he will make it to the end of the season.
That's how I see it going. I see them going 6-10, and it's a couple days, or maybe it's that after, right after the game. Maybe the flight lands, and Dan removes him from his gig.
I think they go 6-10-ish. And I would keep him, to be honest with you, until next season for a lot of reasons. But I think maybe they are planning for a future where Kevin O'Connell, when he's ready, takes over or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That won't be next season. I think Kevin O'Connell has to call plays first. So maybe you go into next year with Jay Gruden in the last year of his contract. Now, is he going to want to have a potential lame duck season? I don't think it's fair to him. I mean, it's not like they're going to mandate to Jay Gruden that Kevin O'Connell has to call plays or something like that. If you're him, you see the writing on the wall, you should just roll out at that point. There's a better chance than not that they treat him very unfairly and that they blow him out at the end of the year, because I think in some ways being set up to fail where they say, you got to win this year, and he's not supposed to win this year with this roster.
Right.
This is not a playoff roster. Go make the playoffs.
This is his turn to be the scapegoat.
Yeah.
From Bruce this
feels
year.
That way.
Right? He's being set up to, it's been Brian LaFemina, it's been Scott McLuhan, it's now going to be Jay Gruden's turn to wear it.
But I thought all along, Danny, that this was kind of the end of the road for Jay Gruden this season because of kind of their master plan pulling the strings behind the operation. When they drafted Dwayne Haskins, it gave me some pause. I think one of the worst things you can do with a young quarterback is have them learn a bunch of different offenses from a bunch of different head coaches.
It's a way to handicap a guy's development.
So potentially, I guess, if you blow out Gruden, you could keep a lot of the offensive staff. You know, O'Connell stays your OC. I guess you could elevate him to head coach, although I'm not sure next year if he'd be ready, never having called plays. But when they drafted Haskins, I thought, that's a couple seasons now where Jay gets to work with him. That's reasonable. You know, that's practical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always how they do their business either.
No.
But I keep seeing this where people go, he's going to be the first coach to be fired. He's got the get-out-of-jail-free card early of, number one, four playoff teams in five games with either McCoy or Keenum as a placeholder. And then he gets to go to Haskins. I really believe they're going to Haskins, you know, right around like the Vikings game so they can show their new toy in Minnesota against Kirk Cousins. Because think about the storylines if somehow they won that game with Haskins in his debut against Cousins and the Vikings. But if you do that, now you're basically to Halloween. You're into November, and he's making his first start. Now, with all their losses, it's growing pains for the rookie. I just don't see why you'd move on from him in season.
Again, that's the reasonable approach to it. But the argument potentially is this is not a reasonable way to do things. Because the main reason, and put Dwayne Haskins aside, I did not want a quarterback for the Redskins at 15 this year. Was that reason. Was you're going to ask the guy to learn a brand new system while he's learning how to be an NFL football player in year number two. This is the Josh Rosen phenomenon all over again. He's doomed to fail, right? He's going to a team that's going to be devoid of offensive talent, that's stuck in a muck and a mire. He's going to get sacked a million times. It's not going to work, and then he's got to learn a new system next year. You're just setting him back. You're asking him to win a sprint, and you put shackles on his legs and ask him to carry a 50-pound weight with lead underpants on. There's no way the kid's got a chance to be good. I break glass in case of emergency when a guy that I like as much as Haskins is available, and you see you figure the rest out later. But you're right. It's the common sense way to do it. People are very confident, though, that it seems like Jay Gruden is the first one, and I'm trying to figure out where that comes from.
Start of next segment, as soon as we return, we got two tickets for you to see the Nats take on the Orioles August 27th at Nationals Park. You got to be listening. Next, we're going around the NFL, some of the best of access for the media in press conferences yesterday. Plus, in the 1 o'clock hour, Dave Jagler on the Nats from the booth. They play at 4:05 looking for a sweep over the Reds. What should we expect from Steven Strasburg today? And Eric Fetty, speaking of pitchers throwing well, he's on the show at 1:30 right here on The Fan. Let's spin you around the NFL on Grant and Danny. First, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on the Orioles August 27th at Nats Park. 1067 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Lamar Jackson, Dateline Baltimore, feeling better in the Ravens offense than he did last season.
Yeah, I'm way ahead I was last year. You know, last year I was, you know, asking coach, you know, what he got right here and stuff like that. But, you know, this year it's a lot of, you know, studying, dialed in my playbook, getting my teammates, you know, the offseason, they helped a lot.
Just 1,200 passing yards and 7 starts last season with the Ravens. But he ran all over the joint. And when he stayed on the field, they were exotic offensively and they were prolific on the ground. almost 5 yards a carry, 5 rushing touchdowns, did fumble 12 times. There's plenty to clean up, but the 22-year-old is going to be at the controls of an offense that no other group in the league will look like, and that could be scary for defenses.
I'm a believer. I have been on record. I buy it. And the marriage of Greg Roman to that offense, I think, is going to add that many more wrinkles. If he could just be adequate as a passer, giving him a couple weapons. You're not going to have great fantasy starters, guys on the outside like Marquise Hollywood Brown and company, but just enough weapons to keep people honest. I'm a believer in this Baltimore team.
I love Hollywood Brown.
So do I. I wish we had him.
I hope he ends up staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that's the only thing that's going to keep him from being one of the great deep threats in the league post DeSean Jackson in this next era moving forward. From the 32nd overall pick last year at quarterback, 25 picks higher, to the 7th pick, Josh Allen, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He, too, really struggled to throw the ball last year, more picks than touchdowns, expected as a rookie, but he also made a ton of plays with his feet. I don't know that people were expecting him to average 7 yards per carry and have 8 rushing touchdowns. The 23-year-old trying to advance his approach under center.
You know, I thought we did a good job today. Obviously, different environment, playing in different weather against a different team. So I think we adjusted pretty well. I think our juice was there. Just being able to see somebody different across the ball from us, I think we kind of needed that. So super, you know, impressed with how we handled things today. We were a very mature, professional football team today, and I really appreciate the guys doing that.
There's a spot, you could probably say this for several years running, for someone in the AFC East to kind of step up and challenge New England. Maybe you don't overtake them. Maybe you don't win the division. But you have that 10-6, 11-5 annual juggernaut. Where's the 9-7 team that's frisky and might knock them off if they have an injury?
It's allowed to happen.
Maybe it's
right?
The Bills. Maybe it's the Jets who made a lot of headway this offseason. But Buffalo spent a ton of money and assets improving the weaponry around Josh Allen.
The Jets did it several years ago with Mark Sanchez handing the ball off a million times and Rex Ryan looking at pictures of feet. The Dolphins have given the Patriots fits at times over the years. The Bills made the playoffs a couple years ago for the first time, you know, since a lot of people were in diapers. Somebody can do it at some point. You could just take advantage that the rest of the division sucks like New England has for so many years and sneak in. Be a 9-7 playoff team. How about two teams from the AFC East one time?
Bills stepped backwards last year under Sean McDermott. Their offensive coordinator is longtime college mind Brian Daboll. Leslie Frazier, a former Vikings head coach, is their defensive coordinator as they enter the 2019 season. Dateline Dallas, Dak Prescott wants more than the $30 million the Cowboys offered him. They cannot sign Amari Cooper or Ezekiel Elliott until they get a deal in place with Prescott. The negotiation is dragging on. Jerry Jones.
My focus is on our team, not where any of these players' contracts are relative to another player. I'm not dealing in the market. I'm dealing with how to fit this team together. And so if the kind of advisor, if I'm listening to advice, is how to get all of these top players under the cap. And so I don't have the responsibility of dealing with the market.
Yes, you do. Actually, that's not how the world works. You can't say that what another quarterback makes does not matter because you can only pay Dak what you can afford to pay him under our salary cap. No, then I'll just say I'm not playing because Derek Carr makes this and Kirk Cousins makes this. And this is the way the entire market works. You don't get to change that, Jerry.
He had some bizarre quote yesterday where he's like, if a man's in an accident in his car and he's never been in one before and he's bleeding, he just goes into the woods and dies. But if I've been in hurt before, I'm bleeding and I know how to make a tourniquet. I've made a tourniquet before. Talking about like his players holding out. Point is like, this has happened to me before and I dealt with it then. So I'll deal with it now. I'll be fine. Just bizarre, man. He just says things. He's like the Joker.
Next stop, Denver. We're going to have tryouts.
I just do things.
Bradley Chubb is one of the best players in the league nobody in D.C. knows about. Now, maybe we could oversay things like that, overrated, underrated, best no one talks about. But seriously, how many people in D.C. know about the year Bradley Chubb had for the Broncos last year?
I couldn't pull the number. I'm going to guess 10.5 sacks.
How about 12?
Ooh.
How about a dozen sacks as a rookie, just very quietly dominant at times.
Pretty good.
Forcing a few fumbles, coming out of NC State as a top 5 pick. He is ramping up, and it's almost time for him to try to build on that strong rookie year.
I mean, I'm definitely ready to play, but at the end of the day, this is like the building blocks for the season. I don't feel like we're you know what I'm saying, everybody needs that, those training wheels, those first couple games just to get their feet wet. And I feel like as a team, we got two in the books and we got three more to go. And when it comes to, like, the starters and stuff, we played, what, one series. So I feel like we still could get our feet wet a little bit more before we hit it full steam in the season. So it is a little long. I'm ready for the season to start, but at the end of the day, this is what we need.
Stop in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers of the Packers had that terrible year last year where he threw 25 touchdowns, two picks, 4,400 yards, and had a 98 rating.
What a rotten year.
Stunk up the joint. He's now 35 years old. So Matt LaFleur is the new head coach in Green Bay. He's the former QB's coach under Kyle Shanahan here in Washington. Got blown out with Mike and Kyle. Went to Notre Dame for a year. Then ended up in Atlanta when they went to the Super Bowl. Then went with Sean McVay to the Rams when they turned their organization around. And last year was the play caller and offensive coordinator with the Titans. He only left Sean McVay so that he could call plays. He's now the head coach in Green Bay. And for some reason, remember the story was always the media was saying that McCarthy and Rodgers didn't get along? And maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I'm sure at times they butted heads like every coach and quarterback with big egos do. But now they're doing this thing again where they keep asking Aaron Rodgers about him and Matt LaFleur like they're not okay. There's these rumblings coming out where LaFleur basically said, I've never really had a quarterback, you know, check everything at the line of scrimmage, but Aaron Rodgers is the first guy of his caliber I've worked with, so we got to figure this out. Here was Rodgers talking about his relationship with LaFleur yesterday.
We have a great line of communication, but I'm not sitting up here wishing people, I wish you just knew this. I don't care. Look, I don't need to go out and prove to anybody how great Matt and I are getting along, or him stand up there and say how great it's been. Like, look, we're having a great time, we're communicating, and the conjecture is for clickbait news stories you guys can put on your website.
He went hard in the paint. I kind of dig it, though, from this perspective, if you're Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's got to be exhausting. You just had a coach leave town. Your relationship with him was turbulent. But it's never as bad as everyone makes it out to be. What people forget about sometimes is it's work.
Yeah.
It's a job. It's a boss. It's a employee. You ever talked bad about your boss before? Like, they are meant to annoy each other. They have different goals and strategies. Now they're doing the same thing with LaFleur. At some point, if you're Rodgers, it's just got to get old.
I think two things can be true. One, what you just said. I think it's 100% right on, right? It's probably not as bad as it was or as good as it could have been, et cetera, right? I also think it just comes across that Aaron Rodgers may be a lot to deal with. He's excellent. He's so good. But he also may just be a little bit ornery. He may just be someone that's not that much fun on a daily basis to be around. But you certainly put up with it because he's amazing.
It's certainly the perception at this point. And as Tom just said, like, when did he become the villain? It's a good question. I mean, at one point, it's just like, oh, there's Aaron Rodgers. He's the fun guy that does the discount double check. And now it's like, there's Aaron Rodgers. He's a big pain in the ass. I don't really know how that transition happened or if it's all true or not. I know there's a lot of people that get rubbed wrong by his relationship with his family over the years. I don't know why that's anybody's business. But I think it's a really good question. I don't know when that worm turned. Eric Fetty of the Nationals at 1:30. Dave Jagler joins the show next. Chance for a sweep for the Nats today against the Reds. He's got the game for you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.